loved one, we need to lock the shield of faith side by side together right now. We need to be strong in the Lord together and in the power of His might. We can't have anyone dragging their feet spiritually and not putting on the armor of God. We need one another.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Monday and welcome to Love Never Fails. On the program this week, Pastor Bill continues his series in the New Testament epistle of Ephesians. In Pastor's study today, we continue to dress for battle, to stand against the wiles of the devil with another piece of God's armor. Let's join Pastor for today's message, The Shield of Faith.
Bibles this morning, we're in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. We're continuing our study with the armor of God. You know, we're nearly finished, you know, with Ephesians. It's been such a great, great study. Now, we continue this morning to walk worthy of our calling. Remember, to walk, the word worthy means a set of scales and, you know, 5 pounds and 5 pounds, so it's equal. So we're going to have our worthy walk by continuing to walk worthy by equal in doctrine and equal in application. We hear the Word of God, we believe the Word of God, and we do the Word of God. Amen? And so there we have a balanced walk. And you're not balanced unless you have on the entire armor of God. You're not balanced unless you, like Paul says in verse 10, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of not your might, your wisdom, because it will not defeat the wicked one, but the power of God. Amen? We have to have our waist. We've already done so. We've girded up ourselves. We put on the belt of truth. We've put on the breastplate of Jesus' perfect, spotless righteousness. And we've shod our feet now. Remember last Sunday with the preparation or the readiness of the gospel of peace. We stand firm in those things. This morning now, we put on a piece that we have to have above everything else, and that is the shield of faith. Amen? Loved one, now listen to me. I know you know this, what I'm about to tell you, but let me just say it anyway. We are warriors, and you have to be a warrior every day of your life if you're a Christian. Do you understand? Every day. It doesn't matter if you wake up and you don't feel good. It doesn't matter if you wake up and you feel great. It doesn't matter your condition. We have to be a warrior every day. We have to take up the shield of faith. It's not an option. Man, it is a command. It's something we have to do. If we're going to be able to, discern the wiles of the devil, defeat the wiles of the devil. He's already defeated, but we want to keep him that way. Amen? So we are the only people on this planet. We have the incredible privilege to possess the perfect truth from God about the wicked powers of darkness. We know how to now fight the unseen powers of darkness. We're the only people on earth that have that privilege and have that honor and know that there really is a devil and we actually live in his territory. Amen? So with all of those things being said this morning, let's look at verse 16 together, where Paul the Apostle, talking about our fourth piece of armor, he says, above all, say that with me, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you, it's personal now, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So whenever Paul says now above all, he means in addition to everything else that we've put on, man, you've got to put this one on or take this one up. It's actually a transition in our text. You know, whenever it said having girded, that's a verb, okay? Having girded, it says having put on the breastplate, having shod your feet. That's all past tense. That is something that is on you all the time. But so we move from the verb having girded, for example, and we not to on the shield of faith, where it's not having the shield of faith, but another verb. It says taking the shield of faith. taking the helmet of salvation, taking the sword of the Spirit. So it's vital that we understand that. Like I said, the first three pieces, man, they're always with us. They're connected to us, okay? They're on our body. But the next three pieces, and we're speaking specifically right now about the shield of faith, you have to take it up. That's something that you must do. You have to be prepared to take it up because we are in a battle. Now, Paul, of course, is probably using the illustration of a Roman soldier. And, you know, when we think of the shield of faith, I don't want you to think, if you've watched, you know, those gladiator movies, I forget that guy, what it was. It doesn't really matter. Why? I can't remember anything anyway. It was a movie, and somebody starred in it. And they were a gladiator in the ring, in the arena, remember? Whoever that was. It wasn't Braveheart. That was another movie. Oh, Russell Crowe. I knew I would have a word of knowledge. Russell Crowe. And I don't even know. It doesn't matter what the name of the movie was. But they had those little sissy swords, remember? And the little sissy shields. That's what the gladiators used. That's just not what we're talking about. This is an incredible shield. The shield that we're talking about here was maybe 3 feet, maybe even 4 feet wide. It could have been as tall, 6, maybe 7 feet. Man, that is a gigantic shield. And whenever soldiers back in the ancient times, if you've read about or perhaps watched movies, remember how all the soldiers would gather together and they would put that big shield in front of them, right? And they would put that big shield in front of them. You know what I'm saying? And they would be locked together side by side. So whenever they were going to take a city and they would be hurling tar and rocks and whatever they threw at them and arrows and I don't know. I didn't live back then, even though I may look like it. It protected everyone. If there has ever been a moment in the history of Christendom, we need to lock the shield of faith side by side together right now. We need to be strong in the Lord together and in the power of His might. We can't have anyone dragging their feet spiritually and not putting on the armor of God. We need one another. Paul the Apostle telling the church at Philippi, he says in Philippians 1:27, he says, let your conduct, that word conduct means citizen. In other words, let your behavior be like a citizen of heaven. And he says, and walk worthy of the gospel of Christ. And here it comes, that you stand fast, immovable, firm, like having your feet shod. You stand fast in one spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, and with one mind, and whose mind would that be? There you go, Philippians what? 2:5, 2 Corinthians 2:16. We have the mind of Christ. We're to put on the mind of Christ, each and every one of us. It says, stand firm in one spirit, one mind, and here it comes. All of us striving together, it says, for the faith of the gospel. We are soldiers. We need to lock our shields together. I love Beck's translation of that. We are to fight side by side like one man because we are a one new man. We're the body of Christ. Amen? So that's what we need to do. Now, with all that being said, the shield of faith, it says to take it up. That's something we do. It's a priority. The shield of faith is not attached. Remember, it's movable. And not only that, the word shield, if you looked it up in the Greek, it's a very interesting word. It actually means door. The shield of faith is a door. Only the word shield is only used right here in the New Testament, okay? So the shield of faith is a door. So faith is the doorway to victory in every part of the Christian's life, amen? It's our doorway to victory against the wiles of the devil. Our shield is actually a door. And who is the door of the sheep? Jesus Christ. Yes, think about that. It says in John 10:9, Jesus said, I am the door. I love that. He is our door. Amen. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he shall be saved. And that's just not talking about salvation. But yes, of course, it includes that. The word save there means, he says, when Jesus said, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. That means he will be kept safe, kept sound. And listen to this. And he will go in and go out and find pasture. And then he says, but the thief, He only comes to steal and to kill and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have life abundantly. Amen? Now, with all that being said, Jesus is not just the door to salvation. Jesus is our door, loved one. Man, he is our shield. Remember when we talked through the Gospel of John, you know, the sheepfold, I'm the door to the sheepfold. In other words, a sheepfold did not have a roof. It just was a walled area where the shepherd would bring in all of the sheep. Jesus is our good shepherd, and there was no door. What did the shepherd do? Remember, he slept in the door. Why? To protect the sheep. No one's going to get across that door. He's our good shepherd, amen? So, and that's what this is implying. And when it says go in and out, no, the Jews taught, they believe whenever that word expression was used, it meant absolute safety, absolute perfect security, and without any fear. Jesus said, and he continued, and he says, in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. I have a relationship with them. And they follow me. Now listen carefully. Since Jesus is our door, that means he is our shield. Amen? Now listen very carefully. Sheep follow Jesus. The Bible says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 23, if anyone desires, Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. If you're not following your shield, are you listening? If you're not following the Lord, if he's way ahead of you down that narrow road, loved one, listen, do you have the shield? He is our shield. Do you see what I'm getting at? As we travel through this life, you're right there. You're following him. Wherever he goes, you go with him. Now, he says, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. That's a double negative in the Greek, meaning you shall never, never perish. And Jesus said, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And my Father who has given them, meaning the sheep to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. What does that mean? That is a promise from our good shepherd, the chief shepherd. Amen? He just made a promise. He said, man, listen, no one, nothing, no one is able to take you away from me. I have you in my hand. Your Father has you in his hand, and no one can destroy you. You belong to God. Amen? That is so important. Now listen, if Jesus is the shield of faith, in other words, the door to the sheep, then how much we need him, how much we need to walk in faith. And here's the reason. 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's why he is our door and our shepherd. Now, it says there, above all, taking the shield of faith, which with you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. One of the wiles of the devil, okay, and I like to call him the defeated one, if you don't mind, is this. He empowers negative faith. Negative faith. What does that mean? He doesn't mind head knowledge as long as it's not heart knowledge. Does that make sense? See, mental assent is when a Christian mental assent, when he believes, you better believe it. The Bible, all 66 books, even the maps, I don't care what, you know, even the center line reference, everything. Yeah, I believe it all. Every word of God, it's God's word. See, mental assent says that, and mental assent also says, and I believe that every word of God is absolutely true. But here's what happens if it's only mental assent. Here comes an attack. Here comes a crisis. Here comes something into your life. And all of a sudden, you're defeated. Why? Because the word of God was only up here. It was never in here. Does that make sense? See, the enemy, man, he wants you to say, I believe everything. I believe God's word. But that but should never belong there. If God said it, it's true. That's all we need to say. Amen? Now, the devil is not moved in warfare, he's not moved because you know God's word. He's not moved because you've meditated upon God's word, or you've memorized God's word, or you quote God's word. Those are all things we need to be able to do, and we need that. However, he's not moved by those things. See, to know the truth of God is one thing, but to be fully persuaded that God's word is true is quite another, isn't it? Amen? Now listen carefully. I pray you never, ever forget this. I learned this the hard way. And you know, the thing about pastors, people think pastors have it down. We don't have it down. We're just like you. I'm just in my calling and you're in your calling. Amen? I have to learn. I have to go through things just like you do in life. And you know, the thing is when I'm going through it, I'm trying to glean from it because I don't want to go through that again. Does that make sense? So here's the deal. Don't forget this now. Satan does not respond, and Satan does not, or the powers of darkness, they never, ever yield to mental assent. Never. Or I hope so. They don't yield to that. Or maybe this is going to work out. No, it doesn't do that. The devil and the adversaries, the demons, they only yield to one thing, and that is faith. You got that? See, listen. Satan, he's terrified of faith. He hates faith. Verse 16, he would love to rip that out of the Bible. Do you understand? He would love to rip verse 16 out of your heart, out of your mind, where you never did what God said. He hates faith. But God rewards our faith, doesn't he? Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. For he who comes to him must believe that he is, and he is a what? Rewarder. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So the devil, he hates faith. Here's a faithful word, Ephesians 3:20. For God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Think about that. All that we can ask. I can ask a lot. All that I can think according to the power that works in us. Now the problem is this. You know, most Christians believe that God is able to do anything without a doubt. But the issue is, do you believe individually that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask and above all that you think? That's where the battle lies. Loved one, God's word is true. Amen? God cannot lie. The Bible says in Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure, unmixed. It's absolutely pure. Every word, every dot, every tittle. Man, the crossing of the T, the dotting of I, every word of God is pure. And it says then, and he, meaning God, is a shield to those who put their trust, that means faith, their trust in him. The shield of faith, now listen, always provides perfect protection if you have faith in the word of God. It doesn't mean that you're going to not have a bad day. We're talking about warfare in the spiritual realm. Amen? We're not talking about being persecuted or anything like that. That's a whole other sermon. We're talking about the wiles of the devil, the darts of the devil that we have to quench. Man, and only by faith can that be done. Remember that the shield, remember, covers the total person. So here you have this big old shield, man. And whenever we take up the shield of faith, we are totally, hidden. And so it was kind of like we're the untouchables, if you will, you know? And it says, remember in Genesis 15, 1. Well, let me go back, Genesis 14. Remember the kings came down and Lot, who was living in Sodom, and the nephew of Abram. And so they come down and they capture Lot and they take all the goods of the people and all the stuff and they take off and someone escapes and comes back and tells Abram, say, listen, they've taken Lot, they've taken all the goods and women and all the kinds of stuff. Anyway. So what does Abram do? He gets 318 of his trained servants, man. He goes after them and he captures Lot and rescues Lot, rather, and takes all the goods and comes back, you know, and he's met by Melchizedek, the king of Salem, king of Jerusalem, the king of peace. He's got the bread. He's got the wine. Amazing. And then here comes these other kings and they divide the spoil. They said, here, Abraham, you can take this. Abraham says, I don't want any of this, lest you say that you made me rich instead of God. And then Abraham is evidently sleeping or sitting in his tent, whatever happens. And in Genesis 15:1, something incredible happens. It says, after these things, the things that I just told you, it says, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. You know, whenever you study out in the Word, I love to go back where things are first mentioned. The first mention of shield in the Bible is in Genesis 15:1. But it's not only that. The first mention of the word of the Lord, our vision and reward and so forth, and even that I am statement, that was the very first mention in the Bible. And I love this one. Do not be afraid. It was the very first mention. Now, listen, we do not have to be afraid of the darts of the wicked one. We don't have to fear him. We have to fear God, and that's it. Amen? He's not equal to God. He's not omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. He's not all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing. He's none of those things. He is a fallen demon, fallen angel. Yes. With all that being said, what I love about that passage is that God told Abram, he said, listen, I am. Just like he said to Moses, I am that I am. He said, I'm your shield. I'm the only shield that you're ever going to need. Loved one, listen, what is greater than God's shield? The shield of faith is God's shield. The shield of faith is the door, is Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? Oh, listen, no one's going to touch you I'm talking about the devil now. He cannot defeat you. He can't keep none of those things if you take up the shield of faith. And I love what God said to Abram. He didn't say, Abram, I'm going to give you a big reward. He didn't say that at all. He looked at Abram and he said, I'm your reward. That's what God says to us. God himself, he says, I am your portion. I am your inheritance. I am your reward. No, exceedingly great reward. Oh, what a great God that we serve. And it says again, look at it, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Some of you read 50% or 20% of the darts. Doesn't say that, does it? It says all of the fiery darts. The shield of faith literally is like a fire extinguisher. If you go back and study history back in the ancient days, you know, the shield, again, you know, it was made out of some of the wood, but then they wrapped it in leather. And do you know what they would do before they went out to battle with their shield, the soldiers? They would take their shield and they would soak it in water. Isn't that amazing? They would soak it in water. And the reason they did that is because whenever the darts were coming and whatever the arrows and with the little, maybe the tar on the end that would set them on fire, it didn't work. It extinguished them. Now, here's the deal. If you're not soaking your shield, the shield of faith, God's provision for you, in the Word of God, are you going to be in trouble? You bet. See, it needs to be saturated with the promises of God. That way, whenever the fiery darts come, you can put them out. See, you don't want to have a dry shield. You don't want to have a shield that hasn't been soaked in the Word of God for a week or 2 weeks or three. Are you listening? Oh, man, you don't want that at all. No, Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water that I give will never thirst again. That's the water you want to keep it soaked in, loved one. Now, the word all, look at it again. You, it's personal. You, the believer, will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. All means it's possible. It's up to you. You can certainly do that. And I don't know about you, but that gives me incredible assurance in the battle. See, I believe that. I have to believe that no matter what I'm facing, whenever it's in warfare, you know, and those darts are coming, I have to say, there's my shield of faith. It's going to be extinguished because I'm going to believe truth over the devil's lies. Does that make sense? And that's what we have to do. So no matter what the enemy throws at you, no matter which dart it might be, you can win if you have faith and trust in the promises of the living God who cannot lie. I pray that it becomes a revelation to you this morning. The word quench all, I pray it's alive right now in your heart. I think sometimes Christians are guilty of rewriting God's word. Well, I can quench some of them, but I couldn't do that. Or No. You can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one because God's word says you can. Amen?
Pastor Bill will complete this message on tomorrow's program, and we hope you'll tune in once again. We appreciate you listening along with us today, and we pray that the remainder of your day is blessed. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.